Your Bible, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We arrive, as we've already read, at verse 18 this morning. The writer of Hebrews is an evangelist. And because of that, as is the case with most evangelists, the Holy Spirit allows him to paint pictures for us. Most of us like to hear traveling preachers or evangelists because they usually have a lot of good illustrations. Well, at least some of them have illustrations, not always that good. But have you ever noticed that you usually remember the illustration more than the message? Well, this message is packed with illustration. The writer has set forth the supremacy of the person and performance of Jesus. And he's done that by taking the Jews back to what they could identify with, their history. And in fact, the history that God has given to his ancient people, Israel, through his word. That's why he begins with the prophets and shows the supremacy of Jesus over the prophets. The purpose of his illustrations, all of them, is this. Everything prior to the coming of the promised one is preparatory and passing. You get that? Everything prior to the arrival of the promised one, God's anointed, the Messiah, is preparatory and passing. It all points to the perfect. And that's the whole purpose of this epistle. To provide this accumulation of illustration of that which was preparatory and passing, that brings us to the perfect, Christ Jesus. And of course, the desire of this evangelist is the desire of God, that those whom he is addressing, in this context, the Jews, that they might place faith in the perfect one, God's anointed, the sin bearer of the world, the promised one who will bring in the kingdom of God. So everything is preparatory to the arrival of the perfect, with the purpose of desiring faith placed in him, in his person and performance. First 10 chapters bring us to the 11th chapter, the principle of faith. He alone is where faith must rest if it is to be saving faith. And the 11th chapter unfolds for us again that which was prior to his arrival, preparatory and passing. But the principle is enduring, is everlasting. It's the principle of faith. And so we have seen this 11th chapter unfold for the purpose of faith coming forth by those whom the writer is addressing. He says that this great cloud of witnesses stands as a testimony of faith. Therefore, look unto Jesus. But looking, if you remember, I told you, is first looking away from everything else unto Him. You see, everything prior to Him has been preparatory and passing. Look away from that unto Him. Your faith must rest totally in His person and performance. Thus, we have there in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse 15 of chapter 12, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Look exclusively, totally to Jesus. And in the context of chapter 12 thus far, we've seen that that look must be focused on Him, His person and performance, because they were experiencing suffering. The early church went through severe suffering. And the writer of Hebrews is telling them, don't allow suffering to keep you from salvation. Suffering is part of being a son of God. He also says, don't allow the exercise of the flesh to keep you from faith. And that's the verses that precede where we are this morning that we've already looked at. The suffering of the child of God, don't allow that. It's that which is planned for the perfecting of faith. Don't allow that to keep you from saving faith. Esau, what an illustration of the natural man, of the flesh. Don't allow the gratification. Don't allow the momentary, the passing satisfaction of the flesh to keep you from the permanent, the perfect salvation that God has for you. And so we find ourselves this morning once again in the midst of an illustration of taking the Jews back to their history so that they might benefit, learn, exercise faith. Don't be an unbelieving people. Their history is fraught with the failures of Israel. And he says, this is a negative illustration. Don't be like that. Be a people of faith. Verse 18. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And it's so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly fearful and quake. Come on over to that account in the history of Israel's of Israel recorded for us in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. And I'm reading from verse 10. The Lord said unto Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai. This illustration is going to be an illustration using Mount Sinai in contrast to Mount Zion. The passing to the permanent. In the sight of the people, the Lord's going to come down. And let them be ready on the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, beware that you do not go up on the mountain. Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram's horn sound a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people. And they washed their garments and said, he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. This whole issue is having your focus on the spiritual, not the natural. That which is heavenly, not that which is earthly. That which is of the spirit, not the flesh. So let's get your focus on coming. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there was thunder and lightning flashes, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain. Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, go down, warn the people, so that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Look at chapter 20, verse 18. And all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. For God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Back to Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says, you haven't come to that physical mountain that could have been touched. It was real. Mount Sinai. Remember, that was part of the history of our people. That's where God spoke. It's a fearful place. Why? Because God set forth his holy commandments. The people feared. You see, Israel's experience under law was one of what? Failure. The holiness of God was set forth in the law. And man was seen in the light of the law to be a sinner. That's what the law was given for. To put on display the glory, the majesty, the holiness of God, that man might see himself in need of forgiveness of being a sinner. But in contrast to Mount Sinai, you have come verse 22, but you Jews are come unto Mount Zion. You haven't come to the physical mountain, but you have come to the spiritual mountain. But you have come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. The law brought death and destruction. Grace brings life. We're over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Paul writing after coming back from his first missionary journey to the churches that were established during his first missionary journey. Chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith in Christ. Everything prior to the arrival of the perfect one, the anointed of God, the promised one, was preparatory and passing to bring to faith. That we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Chapter 3. Look at verse 19. After speaking about Abraham and the promise that comes through Abraham of God's blessing, he says, therefore then serves the law. For what purpose was it given? It was added because of sins, transgressions, overstepping God's bounds, so the seed should come. The law given prior to the promised one's coming was preparatory and what? Passing. So the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures have concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. See, everything prior to the arrival of the promised one was preparatory and passing. You haven't come to that mountain, Mount Sinai, which was preparatory. The law was given there, but the law was given for man to see his need of the promised one who would come to take away sin. Therefore, know that you have now come to Mount Zion, to that heavenly Jerusalem, to that perfect place of blessing that is only to be found in faith in the promised one, in the anointed, in the Messiah. Look at those verses there in chapter 4 of Galatians, where this illustration ties exactly to what the writer of Hebrews is saying. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, a slave, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bond, or the slave woman, was born after the flesh. But he that was of the free woman, of promise. Which things are an allegory? There's a message here. A spiritual truth. For these things, these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai. That's the law, the first covenant. It condemns, it convicts. But it was also there to carry one to faith. Faith in the anointed. Which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. That's the bondwoman, the slave. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. You see, the physical, that which is temporary, is passing. But Jerusalem, verse 26, which is above, is free, which is our mother or the mother of us all. The law was preparatory and passing, pointing to the promised one. The promised one has come. We are saved by faith in him, not by the works of the law. This is the message the writer of Hebrews is driving home hard for the Jews. It's a message all need to hear, Jew and Gentile. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we can do, but by his grace. Mercifully, he has extended to us that which we do not deserve through the finished work and person of the Anointed One of God, Jesus. We're back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 10. The picture. Abraham. And true descendants of Abraham, not just physically. The physical doesn't matter. What does matter? The spiritual. The spiritual descendants of Abraham are people of faith. For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, and whose architect and craftsman is God. Look at verse 16. But now, referring to those who are of faith like Abraham, but now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And of course, the verse that we are focusing on back in chapter 12, verse 22, but you Jews are come unto Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, a fresh, new, different, complete, perfect, arrangement and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than Abel. You see, Abel brought the right sacrifice, but prior to the arrival of God's promised one, it was preparatory and passing. It was in type of what pictures the perfect. But you now have come. to the heavenly, to the perfect, to the new city. He refers to it in chapter 13 again, verse 14. For here have we Jews no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Move from the passing to the permanent. Revelation. We looked at these verses before, but our attention should go back there again quickly. Revelation chapter 21. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. New Jerusalem is not heaven. It is a magnificent, permanent city, a blessing that comes down from God out of heaven. Whether it arrives and becomes a permanent fixture on the new earth, I don't know. It may be a city that hovers above the new earth. But it is a permanent place of blessing for all. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away, from the passing to the permanent. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Look there at verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, and names written thereupon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, the old covenant, the old covenanted people. On the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, the new covenant, the Lamb who has shed his perfect blood for the forgiveness of sins. Look there at verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some interesting things there. It's not for us to take a lot of time, but you notice the nations are still distinct. The kings, those who ruled under God's rule, still distinct in that future kingdom where there will be a new heaven and a new earth and the new heavenly Jerusalem. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 24. But you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not which refused him that spake on earth, much more Shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth? The writer of Hebrews is saying, listen to God's voice. In the past, it was a fearful voice. It was a voice that shook the earth. It was a voice that brought judgment, fear, reverence. But notice, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. The voice of God will shake his creation to its foundation, but also speak forth as the voice of God through the person of his Son brought all things into being in the beginning, so shall it be for the new beginning. And this word, yet once more shall I shake not only earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying that the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we Jews receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with fear, reverence, godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He's going to speak. And all things that now are will come apart. And all things will be made new. That will be forever. Good. Perfect. Not influenced in any way by the defilement of sin. A new heaven. A new earth. A new Jerusalem. 2 Peter. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, and I'm reading from, start right at verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this, they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy behavior and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so the writer of Hebrews, back to chapter 12. The same by way of illustration. Everything prior to the arrival of God's promised one was preparatory and passing. It was that which was temporary. But now, having come to the old mount, Sinai, you've come to the new Mount Zion. Come, and by faith, look away and look unto Jesus. From the passing to the permanent. Come and place faith in God's promised one and find eternal life in Him. Father, thank you again for these moments. Thank you for all that we have, Jew and Gentile, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.